السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما مولانا وسيدي صاحب الأصل والزمان روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء وعجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. For the hastening of the advent of our 12th Imam, Imam al-Hujjah, one salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Beginning this evening, and probably for a few sessions, I wanted to go over the topic of tawassul, about this, obviously in relation to dua tawassul itself, but also the general concept behind it, about seeking an intermediary, about praying to Allah through individuals, to look at it from the perspective of, obviously the ayat of the Quran first and foremost, to look at into the hadith, and to analyze it from various angles, because many times ourselves as believers, we sometimes are put forth with questions where people will ask us that, why do you not pray directly to Allah? Why do you pray through an individual or people or other things? And sometimes these questions come from outside of our faith tradition or from within, outside of the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam, from others within Islam, where they may ask us the same question, that why do you go to these individuals when you can pray directly to Allah? And it's a valid question, and it's also a question which has been obviously asked for many years. And obviously the books that we have of our scholars, they have addressed this topic. And so tonight I want to begin in a series of discussions about analyzing the reality of tawassul. And in our discussions, we'll basically be going through these 9 points, and obviously we won't be doing all of that tonight. This may take us 4 or 5 sessions to actually carefully go through, so we can better understand the essence of what it means to pray and to supplicate to Allah. So we want to begin by looking at a meaning of tawassul. That will be at least in our first session today, because I want to keep them to about 15 to 20 minutes only. From there, we'll go into the Quranic sources for tawassul. Where does this word in the Quran come about? And where does the concept, even if not the word, but where does the concept of praying through somebody come about within the Quran? From there, inshallah, we will look at one of the most explicit verses of the Quran, where the word tawassul is actually used, where Allah specifically uses this word tawassul, and look at it from the Shia and the Sunni perspectives, to see how the great commentators over the last 14 centuries, how they have analyzed and understood this particular verse. From there, we want to look at tawassul to the Prophet during his lifetime, looking at the historical events. Also from there, we look at tawassul to the Messenger of Allah after his death. From there, going to the philosophy of tawassul, try to understand from there on that tawassul actually is the epitome of tawheed, that it doesn't involve shirk, and hopefully we'll get to that conclusion by the previous discussions we'll have. And then I want to look at some of the passages we have within our du'as and ziyarat of where tawassul takes place, and to carefully analyze the wordings of those passages and to weigh them against the verses of the Quran that we would have discussed and the understanding of the scholars, to better appreciate how tawassul is found within the hadith literature and within the ad'iyah, the supplications and the ziyarat of the 14 infallibles. And then hopefully by the end of our discussion, we want to bring forth some responses that we would have to the Wahhabi Salafi mentality, where they question tawassul, because, and we'll see this, that there is obviously a concerted effort from some quarters within the ummah that they will question and actually vehemently and very violently at times stop people from using forms of tawassul. So we want to also try to understand how we can respond to those sorts of queries that may come to us. But for tonight, I just want to look at really the meaning of tawassul. I don't want to go into the Quranic sources tonight, because that will be an independent discussion. But to at least look at tonight of where this word comes from and what the meaning of tawassul is. So when we look at the word tawassul itself, it comes from the Arabic root letters of waw, seen, and lam. And just as obviously, I'm sure many of us are already aware of this, but Arabic obviously being a very unique language, it's obviously the language of Islam, we can say. It's obviously the language of the Quran. It's the language of the speech of Rasulullah and his successors. And so obviously, in order for us to understand any concept within Islamic teachings, we need to obviously go to the words, the key phrases and terminologies which are used within Islam, and not only understand them from the Islamic point of view, also look at them from the linguistic perspective. Meaning if you opened up a dictionary and you were to try to look at the meaning of an Arabic word, you would obviously have to study it from the point of view of the grammar of what the word means, the root of it. And once you understand that, then obviously go into the secondary sources and look at the same word from the point of view of scholars who have analyzed such terminologies in the Quran based on the Arabic of Rasulullah and of the time of the Imams. And this becomes important, and just as a side note, let me mention that it becomes important for us, especially those who want to further understand Islam and various concepts, that we don't relegate ourselves only to a dictionary definition of a particular word. Because as we all know, language goes through change. It progresses with time and place. And a word which is used today in 2016 would not necessarily have the same meaning 500 years ago. And it definitely wouldn't have the same meaning in another country. So as an example, in English, we have a lot of words in English which don't mean the same in Canada as they do in Europe, let's say. And we have words in English which in 2016 have a particular meaning, a connotation, but maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, that word either A, didn't exist, or it had a completely unique meaning. As an example, we have, you know, the word selfie, the one that comes to mind. This is a word which was coined maybe within the last 10, 15, or 20 years. If you asked somebody 100 years ago what a selfie is, there probably would have been no understanding of that word because it was never coined at that time. But it's used today, and it's used pretty much internationally in English. Now, maybe in 50 years, that word may take on a new meaning with new technologies, or it may be completely outdated when new technologies take place. So words will obviously change with time and place. And another example, a very crude example, is the word fag. In Canada, that word has a derogatory meaning. But if you use that word in the UK, it means a cigarette. So the same word in the same time, but you see how the meaning is unique in two different countries. And English is like that, and many languages are like that. The reason I say this is because when we look at Islamic terminologies and we want to understand especially the Quranic concepts, we can't necessarily take a word in the Quran like wasila or in many other words and then look at the meaning in the 21st century and expect to understand the verse of the Quran or the hadith or the du'as or supplications, because these were words used 1400 years ago by the Prophet from the tribe of Quraysh in Mecca, who had a unique, obviously speaking, a unique way to speak. And they were coining and using words in a specific context. And so that's even when you look at our commentators of the Quran, when they talk about doing tafsir or exegesis of the Quran, they will refer to dictionaries that have been written where words of the Quran are defined how they were used 1400 years ago. And they will use ayat of the Quran, they'll use poetry of the Arabs, they'll use many sources to come to the root meaning of a particular word. And so obviously even for our discussion of tawassul, we need to obviously analyze multiple angles, look at it from multiple dictionaries, definitions. Obviously in our discussion, I don't want to go that deep into it. There are books obviously written on the topic you can refer to. But just to give us a brief understanding, just for the purpose of our discussion, when you take these three letters and you basically use the rules of Arabic grammar to derive and create words by building up on either a three-letter root letter word, in this case, or sometimes four letters, we get this word tawassul. And the general definition given by, for example, the Hans Weir Arabic English dictionary, he says that the word tawassul means to request or to make an entreaty, a fervent plea, a petition or an application. So keep in mind that this is a definition outside of the bounds of Islam, because tawassul could be used in terms of secular general issues, right? So it's not only unique to Islam. So this is a general definition of the word, but then there would be a Islamic definition. And this is also what we see, for example, in the words like dua, right? Or the word salat, as a better example. Pre-Islamic Arabs, when they talked about salat, that meant dua, what we do today, making dua. But when Islam comes, it takes that same word salat and it gives it a form of how we pray the five daily prayers today, with the niyat, the takbiratul ihram, the recitation of surahs, the ruku, sajda, and so on and so forth. So tawassul, generally speaking, means to request something, to make a plea, a petition, an application from one person to another person or another being. Looking at some of, and I just want to share with us two different dictionary definitions. Khalil ibn Ahmad, in his dictionary called Kitab al-Ain, he gives the following definition when he defines tawassul. He says, and he gives an example, he says that the word tawassul means, I sought a means to reach towards my Lord, meaning that I performed a specific action through which I was seeking closeness to Him, meaning Allah, meaning the Lord. And when a person says that, uses this word tawassaltu, for example, I sought a means to reach a person either through some writing, like writing a letter to somebody, or through a family member, maybe some ties you have with another person. He says that what this means is that I use that means to get closer to that person. So basically he's saying that when you use it for either Allah or another human being, it's used in the meaning of seeking closeness, proximity, this qurba, to either Allah, to the Lord, or to another person through some other means. It could be through another person, as he gives the example of a family member, or it could be through a letter. For example, somebody writes a letter to somebody else, maybe to say that this person is going to come to you for some assistance, help them out, as an example. And so that letter becomes the wasila, or the means through which you are connecting one to the other. Another well-known lexicographer of Arabic, Ibn Manzur, in his book Lisan al-Arab, he describes tawassul in the following way, in his definition. And again, he gives the example, where he says that I sought a means to reach him through something, meaning that through a particular action, I sought to get close to somebody else. And so he says that this means that the wasila is that which is used to get close to somebody, someone, or something. So from this we understand that a wasila, generally speaking, outside of even the boundaries of Islam, is when a person uses something to get closer to something else in spiritual closeness. Now again, that could be like you write a letter to somebody and advocate on their behalf, that letter becomes a wasila. Or for example, you do a specific action, maybe for example prayers, the salat, which becomes a wasila to get closer to Allah. Or you connect to a friend who helps you to get closer to the third party. All of these become wasilas or means or ways to get closer to that individual that we are seeking closeness to for whatever reason. And so therefore a general definition which we have is that we make use of one thing to get closer to something else. Again, this is just a general non-religious binding definition. It's using one thing to get closer to something else. If we want to look at it from a religious Islamic definition, what we could say is that using someone or even something, and we'll see that when we go to the verses of the Quran in our next session, that using someone or something which is permitted within the sacred teachings of Islam, within the Sharia, to gain spiritual proximity to Allah. So when we use something which is allowed within Islamic teachings, it has to be sanctioned, it has to be permissible from the religion itself, that we can define as tawassul, as using that means to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore tawassul through a person is nothing more than the act of employing one of the awliya, one of the friends of Allah, to advocate on our behalf to Allah. So this basically means is that tawassul is not shirk at one level. It's not associating a partner with Allah. And we'll see this in the next slide, that tawassul becomes a way to get to Allah by having somebody or something advocate on our behalf to Allah. And we'll also get into the discussion of why or do we actually need to use ways to get to Allah. But ultimately, this shows us the hierarchy of power and authority, that Allah is at the very top. After Allah in the pyramid of authority and power, obviously we have prophets, imams, messengers. And Allah tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, for example, Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul wa Ulil Amra Minkum. Obey Allah and obey the messenger and those in authority amongst you. So Allah is at the pinnacle of the authority, but He brings forth people on earth, prophets, messengers, imams, to be His authority on the earth. So they are obeyed through the obedience of Allah. So the hierarchy is Allah is at the very top. Next in authority, we can say, through the permission of Allah, are the prophets, messengers, imams, so on and so forth. And then we have, for example, another level, we have like the witnesses, the shuhada, the siddiqeen, the ulama, all of those others who are basically in a level to intercede and to have power over or authority. And at the very bottom, we say that we have us as the fallible human beings. And the arrow basically points to two things. One is that, A, we theoretically can go directly to Allah because we have that direct connection to Allah. You know, Allah tells us in the Quran, for example, that when you when you pray, that you pray directly to Allah, we say Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. We know that in the Quran Allah tells us Ud'uni astajib lakum, call upon me, I will answer you. But at the same time, the arrow also points to a connection that we can go through any of these other limits or these sources to get to Allah. And again, we'll see this when we go further into the ayat of the Quran, that Allah has given us a permissibility to go through other individuals to connect to Allah. There are three possibilities of tawassul that we actually have. Three ways that we can look at using people or things to get closer to Allah. And again, we will go through all of these when we go further into our discussions, but I just want to lay these out at the beginning. So the first possibility when it comes to tawassul is that a person has a need. So we have some problem, some difficulty in our life, and so we want to ask, obviously, our Creator to help solve that problem. Now, in the first possibility of tawassul, what happens is that either A, we use one of the names of Allah, as Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدَعُوهُ بِهَا, that to Allah belong all the most beautiful names, so call upon Him through those. Or we use an act of worship, like we are continuous in our prayers. We have fasting, we have charity, we have hajj, we have ziyarah. We have all of these acts of worship, of ibadah that we do to Allah, and we use those actions or those names of Allah to call on Allah to resolve our problems. Right, so this is the direct path, but we're still using a wasila, where there's still a means to get to Allah. So there's still something in between, right? Whether it's calling Allah in a dua, whether it is prayers, whether it's fasting, there's still some wasila, some means that is being employed to get to Allah. That's one example of tawassul, where we use our actions to get close to Allah. A second example we have of another possibility of tawassul is person has a need. They have some problem, some challenge in life. They go to the prophet or imam, etc., or one of the awliya, one of the saints, and they ask Allah on their behalf. So a person would go to Rasulullah or one of the imams with a problem, and they would ask that individual to ask Allah for them. So that individual, that ma'asum, or even a non-ma'asum who has that proximity to Allah, they would take that dua to Allah, they would pray on behalf of somebody, Allah would accept that request, or He may reject it, but in this case He accepts it. And then Allah fulfills that request. And with example, we have multiple examples which we'll look at in the future, but we have the example when Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, after what happens with Nabi Yusuf, the children, the other sons, the other 11 sons or 10 sons of Nabi Yaqub, they go back to their father and they tell Nabi Yaqub, "Oh, our father, make dua that Allah would forgive us for our, or make dua that we are forgiven, or forgive us for our actions." And Nabi Yaqub says, "I will ask forgiveness from my Lord on your behalf." So, and then obviously then that matter becomes resolved by the permission and by Allah. So in this case of tawassul, it's where a person goes to the Prophet or Imam or individual, they make the dua on behalf of you as a human being. Allah would listen to it, accept it, or he may reject it, but if he accepts it, he fulfills that request based on that individual interceding by him or her being a wasila or a means to carry that prayer to Allah. So that's the second example of tawassul. And the third example that we have, and we'll end with this tonight, is where again a person has a need. They have some problem, some challenge in their life. They go to the Prophet, they go to the Imam, to that saint, whoever that man or woman is, and they ask them for them to relieve them of that difficulty. That individual takes that prayer to Allah. They ask Allah on behalf of us. And rather than at this point Allah directly resolving the problem, what happens is that the Prophet or Imam themselves directly resolve that problem. An example is with Nabi Isa alayhi salam, where the Quran says that Allah gave him the permission to raise the dead from the grave, or to cure the blind, or to heal the lepers, to cure the sick, to take clay and form a bird and blow into it and it came alive. So when Nabi Isa would, for example, be asked as a proof of his prophethood to raise the dead from life, to raise the dead and make them alive again, he would obviously be doing so with the permission of Allah. And so indirectly Allah is doing the action, but it's seen that Nabi Isa, Jesus, is doing the particular act. So there's a fine line there, but it's different in the first example where Allah is accepting the dua and forgiving. Here it's where Allah gives that prophet or imam or nabi, whoever it is, them, he gives them the direct permission or ability to resolve that person's problems. Obviously, again, with the permission of Allah. And that's why we say at the end that this is a matter which is resolved with the permission of Allah. That in any of these possibilities of tawassul, that it always comes down to the fact that there is a person who's making the request. There is a wasila, a middle person, who is the intermediary, the one who would take that message up to Allah. Or it could be, for example, an act of worship, as we had in the first example. And ultimately, we have Allah who will either accept it or reject it. But if it's done, if it's fulfilled, it's through the permission of Allah that He allows that particular action to take place and to materialize. Inshallah, next discussion we will look at tawassul in the Noble Quran. There are about 3 or 4 verses that I want to reflect upon and look at the commentary of, to see how Allah brings forth this issue of going through Him direct, going to Him directly, or in many instances going through others to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to accept our acts of worship on this night. We ask Allah that we are able to benefit from the intercession of the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah to keep us all on the path of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. And we ask Allah to grant the believers who are suffering in so many parts of the world a clear victory over their opponents. We ask Allah to help us to remove all acts of oppression. We ask Allah that all of those who are committing acts of aggression, that if they are able to be guided to the path, to leave their ways, that Allah gives them that guidance. And we ask Allah that if they are not able to be guided and they continue in their ways of error, that Allah deals with them with His justice and not with His mercy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's end with reciting a surah Fatiha. But before that, one loud salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.